This is the East Idaho Prepcast on idahosports.com.
That's right. Welcome in the East Idaho Prepcast on idahosports.com, your one-stop shop for the biggest headlines in Districts 5 and 6, week in, week out, in the great state of Idaho. Brandon Bainey joined by our East Idaho resident and expert, Sean Kane. Yo, what's up, Sean?
Hey, man, I was enjoying some nice weather today. I had to change the lighting here down in the command center so I don't look bright red. But, man, we had a beautiful day here in East Idaho. And, man, what is it, April 11th? I don't know if I could tell you the last time I had a day I wore shorts all day in April. So it was beautiful. It was a beautiful day. And, yeah, we're rolling along, like, you know, 50 more days left of high school for most people. So that's kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah. I'm not sure I'm really ready for that, but here we go. Like, ready or not, we are racing down the track. Yeah. I went with a little natural lighting in my setup here as well, Sean. It's kind of cast a shadow on one half of my face, but
hiding just the bags under my eyes.
Right. I just like the lighting is better when I turn on the light in my office, but I'm like, it's so nice outside and I just want that natural sun. Like, I don't need an artificial light above me, but
I've got there's a light back here you guys can't see. I got like two lights, and yeah, it's gotten professional. We got the microphone, we got the Jordan jersey in back. It's like 1998, but with fiber internet.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, 1998. What a year that was.
I still signed my checks 1998. I haven't written a check in a long time, but it's one of my favorite years.
Yeah, I mean, Chicago Bulls won their sixth NBA championship. Are you a Chicago Cubs fan?
I'm a White Sox fan. Yeah. 2015, I was in, you know, that's the last time they won. That was pretty good. Or 2005, excuse me. 2005 is the end of my college career. I missed some classes to watch Bobby Jenks win the World Series.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple weeks ago because I used to look like Bobby Jenks when I had just the goatee. And the only reason I asked about the Cubs was 98 was that kind of magical summer with Sammy Sosa as well. Oh, yeah. Right in the home run chase,
Mark McGwire. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, you know, and the Cubs won a few years back, and I stayed up really late to watch that game, and great for them. I've been to two Cubs games, and if you're a huge baseball fan, and we'll go on the record right now, I'm not the biggest baseball fan. That's Brandon's category. Put that in the Bainey basket. I'm a fair weather baseball fan, but I've been to two Cubs games. I've been on right on the first baseline, and it's a really fun experience. And most of my baseball fan friends are like, yeah, it's amazing. But yeah, going to a Cubs game is phenomenal in the summer in Chicago. And, you know, I've been to Old Comiskey, New Comiskey, US Cellular, Amazon.com Stadium, whatever White Sox play in this year. And that's a lot of fun too. But the Cubs game is definitely, like, if you want a baseball experience, you're like in the heart of North End of Chicago. There's just so many good restaurants, and just the parking costs more than, you know, what we would even fathom here in Idaho, and it's fun. So my uncle had Cubs season tickets one for a while, and he didn't have them just himself. Usually groups of people bought them at the time, and you go to so many games, but he lived like a block away in like a teeny little apartment, went to like, I don't know how many Cubs games that year, but it's a cool experience. And I think as a sports fan in general, just going to a historic baseball stadium like that, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a good time for sure. I'm an Uber baseball fan. I've got a little passport book. It's got all 30 stadiums in it. And as you visit, you know, you get it stamped and you can write in there, you know, the game and what happened and the winning pitcher and the losing pitcher and all that stuff. And so we decided, my family, you know, my two brothers and my dad all have the same passport book, and we're kind of doing this together. And we kind of decided, we're like, well, we better go to Oakland this summer, 'cause you know, that stadium, that team's not going to be there after this year. So in August, we're going to fly down and check out an Oakland A's game at least. So,
well, that'll be fun. Yeah, I have a lot of friends that are San Francisco Giants fans, and they've been there, and they say that's a phenomenal experience too. And yeah, there's a lot of good ballparks out there. And the cool thing at the White Sox when I was a kid is they had a thing where you go and they take your picture and put on a certificate saying it's your first White Sox game. And I got to do it as a kid. And I also got to take my kids. Actually, I hope they're not listening. Only one kid got to go do it. The younger one did not. My daughter did get her little certificate with my first White Sox game, but my son has it.
It's all right. Oh, that's funny. Wow.
He doesn't know.
Until he stumbles yeah. upon this years later.
Yeah. Why am I wearing all this White Sox stuff, Dad? I make you wear Bears stuff too. My son wears a Bears hat, and hopefully it hasn't affected his social emotional being during his childhood years. But
yeah, no, I get you. Ironically enough, when we go to this Oakland, and here we are 6 minutes in, and all we've talked about is Major League Baseball.
I'm not even a baseball fan.
Can I be real to the people tuning into this for some East Idaho content, you know, between you and me and the audience? It's going to be a lighter episode, all right? It's just going to be, I've kind of got that like spring fever, right? I'm stuck inside. It's like I'm back in school. Like all I want to do is be outside, and I've got like, I've got to go do this show and I'm stuck inside. So we're going to be a little lighter, and the conversation is going to be a little more free flowing in terms of content here. But last point. And then we'll move on to East Idaho stuff. Ironically enough, the Oakland A's game we're going to in August, the opponent is the White Sox. And those are going to be probably, let's be honest, probably the two worst teams in the American League, right? We're hopeful that there's going to be like nobody there. Like we'll be able to sneak down and sit behind home plate probably. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. I also have one other White Sox. I went to Chicago one time for a teacher conference, like job fair before I had a job. And I went to Chicago to one, and my uncle left me tickets at the will call for the White Sox game. And I go, yeah, is there, tickets for Sean Kane? And he's like, oh yeah, Jeremy Dye's tickets. I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, Jeremy Dye was a really good player on the team, good hitter. Jermaine Dye, like great hitter, big home run guy. And he's like, oh, you're the Jermaine Dye's. And I'm like, yeah, sure. And so we were like five rows up from home base. I don't know if those to this day were my tickets or not, but I took them. And so thank you, Jermaine, Mr. Dye.
Poor Jermaine Dye's wife and kids are like, no, we need to go in. No, your tickets have already been taken. Sorry.
I kind of feel like his parents were, or his wife or his immediate family probably wasn't going to like the front will call booth at that time. But, you know, thank you, Jerry Krause.
Yeah. You know, I keep saying one last thing and then we'll get, I was watching the Dateline recently. Do you watch Dateline at all?
Oh yeah. Sean? Mostly the murder ones, right?
Yeah. That's usually all it is. Yeah. I was watching a Dateline about this ridiculous guy. It was actually non-murder related. It was financial crimes. And he was whining and dining all of these women all over the country and then stealing their money and opening credit cards and all this terrible stuff. And the other part to it was he was pretending to be like a military veteran and like, so stolen valor, basically, to the point where he was living in Dallas and he took one of his girlfriends to a Texas Rangers game and said like, oh yeah, the Secretary of Defense left me tickets at the will call booth. And so he gets there and they're like, we have no record of this, sir. We have no idea. And he just like, he basically berated the people and big timed the people enough to the point where they were like, oh, okay, yeah, here's some tickets for you. Just go in, sir. We're very sorry. We don't want to upset the United States military. Like, it worked. Like, I couldn't believe it. But that guy got what he deserved eventually.
Of course. Mine was just, I was a young kid out of college. I just went up to try to get my tickets and sure. But there were great seats right behind home base. And that was fun. But Thanks, Mr. Dye.
Yeah, for sure. All right, 10 minutes in, Major League Baseball, Dateline. Let's finally get to some East Idaho sports. I guess since we were talking baseball, let's start there. The first baseball coaches poll of the year came out. Sean, we always like to wait until April to start the coaches polls, just because like all the Treasure Valley teams, they've already had 7, 8, 9 games under their belt, right? But for East Idaho and North Idaho and the Magic Valley, it's a little trickier. And so some teams get through March with like maybe a game. Last year, Malad softball didn't have any games. And so we like to wait till April to kind of roll out the first coaches poll of the year. And then even then last week, a lot of games got wiped out due to rain and stuff, right?
Yeah. I mean, you just, it's been better than last year. That'll be my, I feel like the weather has been better than last year, but you know, some results are trickling in. So I think it will have a, you know, the first snapshot of what's going on around the state, right?
Yep, for sure. So let's take a look at the first baseball coaches poll of the year. These will come out every Wednesday at idahosports.com. A little light on East Idaho teams, which, you know, business as usual, right? We've got the chip on our shoulder and nobody ranked in the 5A poll. In fact, 4 of the 5 spots in the 5A baseball poll belong to Treasure Valley teams. If you're looking at who also received votes, Highland was the only team from East Idaho that even received any votes, Sean, and they were the very last team to receive votes. So they technically were like 9th in the poll, basically. That it's hard with only 4 teams, right? But 5A in general just doesn't have many teams outside of the Treasure Valley. The Rams are only 8-6, but they're 3-0 in conference play. And they have, you know, played pretty competitively. They lost to Rocky Mountain twice by a run each time. They've lost to Mountain View by 1 in extra innings. So, I feel like Highland's right there.
Yeah, and those are two teams that are there, right? Mountain View coming in at number 5. Rocky Mountain not in the top 5, but receiving votes. But very competitive games against two teams that are right now in the forefront of people's minds. So, Highland are doing a good job and also taking care of their conference so far, 3-0. So Highland on the right track, right? You know, you can't judge everything just by the poll.
Yeah. And we talked about their no hitter that was thrown last week, the horns up win over Pocatello as well. Things are going well for Coach Christian Colonel in Highland, and they had the big alumni night as well at their brand new field. So yeah, things are going well for Highland. 4A poll. We have the Blackfoot Broncos checking in at number 2 in the initial poll, Sean, to the point where, to tie it back into Highland, Highland had an open date on their schedule, Sean, and so they called up Blackfoot and said, hey, you want to play? Like, you want to host us for a game? And so they ended up playing Blackfoot in this impromptu game that got added late to this, like last week it got added to the schedule. It benefits both teams, right? It's going to help their Max Preps rankings. And Highland got the 14-6 win. It was a pretty fun, feisty game between two really good teams.
Yeah. And I said Blackfoot gave, I got kind of like the vibe a couple of podcasts ago that Blackfoot was going to be a team to kind of keep your eye on. And so far, you know, number 2 in the rankings is pretty good. And doing a good job in conference, and we all know that District 6 conference is just chock full of baseball teams, right? Idaho Falls is traditionally good. Bonneville is pretty good. You never can sleep on a Shelley team. You just can't. Whatever sport it is, I would never sleep on a Shelley team. But Skyline also playing well too. But you've got, you know, Blackfoot number 2, and then not really anyone else. You've got Pocatello coming in as receiving votes, and I think that's really it for East Idaho.
Yeah, Pocatello is still at 7-6. They have games where they look really good, and I'm like, yep, these are the defending champs. That makes sense. And then there's some games where, you know, like they lost to Rigby 15-14. Like, we're just not used to seeing them allow that many runs. You know, they lost earlier this year to Twin by 10. We're just not used to seeing, you know, when they have fallen, you know, it's been competitive. And so I still trust in Pocatello, right? They've got a lot of really good players back. I think they're going to be okay. Technically right now though, Preston is in first place, 1-0. They did beat Century in their conference opener earlier this week, but the Indians are just 2-5 overall. So I still like Pokey there as well. All right, 3A poll. Now we're talking. Marsh Valley ranked 3rd. Sugar Salem ranked 4th. If I'm Marsh Valley, you know, I'm lobbying to be the top team, because the team that is ahead of them, Sean, Holmdale, number one, Kimberly, number two. Now, they have fallen to Kimberly this year. But Holmdale, I mean, Marsh Valley just swept Holmdale last Saturday. And yet Holmdale's ranked ahead of them. What gives?
Yeah, it must just because Holmdale's played 13 games. I don't know. But, yeah, if I'm Marsh Valley, I'm a little chip on my shoulder. But, you know, Marsh Valley, they're traditionally good. They're going to play hard. They're going to have a strong schedule. I think we talked about that last week. Marsh Valley kind of has put together a strong competitive schedule, and they're 8-4, but ranked 3, but they just swept Homedale. So, I mean, you know, I think you've got the right teams. Does the order matter when it comes down to it? I don't know. Maybe just for that week.
Yeah, I don't know. It could be. And then Sugar Salem sitting there at number 4 in the poll. Sean, they are on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 game winning streak. They just beat Teton in their conference opener on Tuesday, 16-0. They beat Chalice Mackey last week. They beat Century by a run last week. Looking at what's ahead on the schedule, you know, I don't want to jinx them, but I think they could run the table from here on out. And that would put them into the postseason on a 12 game winning streak, potentially.
Yeah, I mean, Sugar Salem, we know they're good. They're bringing a lot to the table. They've got a lot to play for. They're playing with a little extra, I think, right now too. And yeah, they could run the table, but I, you know, they're going to be good. They're going to be at state. It's just kind of like, can they get to that next level? They're going to be real good. I think they can. I think they've got a team that definitely could win state, right? And they're going to be in the mix. And I mean, that 3A, you look at that top 5 3A in the poll, man, there's just a lot of good teams. That's going to be a competitive, if we just looked at it now, that might be the best bracket for baseball, like if started today.
Yeah, no, it is.
That's where I'd go.
It's the most wide open for sure. 2A baseball poll. Nobody from East Idaho is ranked. I think that's a mistake. But there's three teams that are right there in the also receiving votes: Firth, Malad, Chalice Mackey. I think Firth should be ranked. I think Malad has a case to be ranked. Malad just beat Marsh Valley last week, 1-0. Not many teams have beaten Marsh Valley this year. Malad has. I think Firth and Malad will both get to state. I think Chalice Mackey has a good shot at getting there as well. All three of those teams got to state last year. And of course, Malad is the defending 2A state champion. And I just think all three of those teams are maybe a little undervalued.
Yeah. And you look at the 2A, I'm having like basketball flashbacks. Like you got Coal Valley Christian at number one. You know, you got Grangeville in there. Wendell wasn't in there in basketball, but Wendell's always a solid baseball team coming at number 5. But yeah, Firth playing some really good ball. Firth kind of a little under the radar. I think we talked about them a little bit last time. And Malad, that's a huge win over Marsh Valley. And Chalice Mackey, always competitive. Maybe they're not here this week, but what a week could do might change some minds in that coaches poll.
Yeah. All four teams that made the Final Four last year, Marcin, Orofino, Napa Christian, Malad, they'll all be right back in the mix again. And Firth got to state last year. I think they're going to be good. Coal Valley Christian's kind of a newcomer to this thing.
Yeah. Right?
They didn't get to state last year, but we'll see. So that's what's going on in baseball. Sean, let's go to the softball coaches polls where, well, it's been even tougher. 5A, at least we got a team in. Thunder Ridge was tied for 4th. Somebody really smart a couple of weeks ago said, keep an eye on the Thunder Ridge softball team. And here they are, Sean. They still haven't lost. They're 10-0.
10-0, 1-0 in conference. They were solid last year, too. And you kind of thought, yeah, last year they, you know, lost some of the pitching. But this year, just right back in the driver's seat of that conference. I mean, I know it's only 1-0, but 10-0 overall, tied for 4th. Thunder Ridge softball is doing big things right now.
They've got a very underrated pitcher. We've talked about all these great pitchers that are over in East Idaho. Callie Scoresby, senior in the circle. She's thrown 31 2/3 innings this year. 76 strikeouts to just 9 walks, Sean, and she's only allowed like six runs. She's got a 1.33 ERA. It's insane.
Yeah. I mean, and we're only what, halfway through, right? I mean, that's the end of the year numbers, right? When you've played a bunch of games halfway. I mean, what are these going to look like at the end of the year? I mean, I don't know if they keep detailed records on things like that. Usually individual schools do, but Thunder Ridge isn't that new. She might be embarking in some records in her school at least.
Yeah, Thunder Ridge hasn't been open that long either. So, and then at the plate, Mallory Webb at the plate, Sean, 36 plate appearances. So I feel like that's a pretty good sample size. She's batting 710. She gets 22 for 31.
Wow. There's nothing else to say. That's just unreal. That's like Webb's up. That's a hit. Easy.
And I mean, Scoresby would lead in most teams. You know, she's got a 5.93 average. That would lead a lot of teams, but she's third. She's behind a freshman, Sadie Fulmer, who's batting 6.11.
Wow.
I mean, you can start to see why, you know, Thunder Ridge is having a very special season. They went down and played some really good Utah teams. They have played Rocky Mountain, which is a good 5A program. They played Pocatello. They did beat Rigby earlier this week, 19-11. So the question is going to be now, can they, because I really think they are head and shoulders above the rest of the conference in softball, you know, will they be battle tested enough when they get to state is going to be the big question. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah. Right. I mean, all the other teams above them are, Boise area teams. So that becomes the question they'll have to answer.
Yep. 4A coaches pulled for softball. Three East Idaho teams in the top five. And I think it's all spot on. Pocatello 2, Hillcrest 3, Idaho Falls 5, and then Bishop Kelly's 1 and Twin Falls is 4. I've got no problem with that top five in that order. I think they got it right.
Yeah, and it's I mean, the only thing I'm saying that's kind of interesting is Hillcrest is 3, but they're 0-2 in the conference. And Idaho Falls 6-2, but 2-0 in the conference. So that's kind of interesting. That will be, again, you know, District 6 conference battle. We bring it up every week for every sport, and we're going to be heading in the same direction.
Yeah. So you did mention, and that's a good point to bring up. I guess you probably could flip flop Idaho Falls and Hillcrest, certainly, because the Tigers have had the upper hand, right? And everybody plays each other twice in the regular season, and Idaho Falls has since stretched out to 3-0 in conference play. Sean, they beat Shelley last night 6-1. Both of those games against Hillcrest, though, were one run games, 3-2 and 11-10. So I don't know, in my gut, I still feel like Hillcrest has the more proven track record in softball. And so, but either way, fantastic battles between Hillcrest and Idaho Falls, definitely. 3A poll, Sean. We have Sugar Salem checking in at number 4, just like the baseball team. And that is it. Really, you know, they're 9-4 overall. They're 1-0 in the conference. Are they going to be pushed by anybody? You know, South Fremont has had a good program in years past. They're 7-6. Teton's not really in it. And really, from District 5, it is Marsh Valley's conference there. American Falls is has fallen off a little bit, and Snake River's not as strong as they've been in years past either.
Yeah, I'm used to seeing Snake River here in the softball. We talked about them a lot last year. You know, South Fremont did receive votes, didn't make it into the top five, but yeah, Sugar, what a surprise. Sugar in the top five situation in an athletic event in the state of Idaho.
I will say, and I will come back and eat it if I'm wrong here, I'm not sure how East Idaho stacks up in 3A softball this year. You know, Holmdale is so good. Weezer is really talented. Kimberly is the defending champions. That's a pretty good top three. And Parma's 12-1. They just lost for the first time last night, Sean. Nobody in Parma can tell you the last time they went this long without losing. So,
I mean, yeah, 12 and they, on the poll, they're 12-0, 4-0 in conference, but last night they picked up their first loss, but They did receive some first place votes, but Parma always really strong program in almost every athletic event. But that'll be again, that 3A conference is going to be interesting in the softball side as well.
Yeah. And then 2A poll, Malad number one, 5-0 when the poll was conducted. That checks out. North Fremont just missed out. They would be sixth essentially in the poll. They were in the receiving votes. West Jefferson and Bear Lake caught some votes as well. But to me, it's pretty clear. It's Malad in District 5. And in District 6, I don't know. I'm still not sold and ready to call it North Fremont's yet. I know they're 3-0, and they're 6-1 overall. And they have beaten Ryrie, Salmon, and West Jefferson. But I still kind of want to see how they do against Firth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still kind of just surprised at West J, who has been such a good team the past couple of, I mean, they're like a Saturday finalist the last couple of years at state. Yeah. 0-8. That's tough.
Yeah. Sometimes there's some big turnover and that happens, but yeah, North Fremont doing pretty well, West J, but you know, it'll be interesting to see how Firth does. I mean, Firth has been pretty strong this year. So North Fremont, the Firth game will be interesting to see what happens. That'll probably give us a little more clarity.
Yeah, and they don't play until later on in April, the 23rd and then the 30th, and that'll kind of give us an idea. But Firth is a team with potential, I think. They lost to Declo 17-16 in 8 innings. They lost to Parma by a run. They have 1-2-3 one-run losses this year. They have a 14-12 win over Sugar Salem. I think just on the right day, Firth can be a tough opponent. So I don't know. We'll see. But North Fremont looking good, 6-1 overall. So, all right. That is what's going on in the coaches' polls. We'll hand those out every Wednesday at idahosports.com. Let's wrap up with some track and field here. Sean and the Bell Lap. That's our weekly track and field feature from Marlo Herford. Tuesdays are for track and field at idahosports.com, and every Tuesday there will be a new edition of the Bell Lap. It's kind of the biggest story statewide in the world of track and field, and this week it was all about the Arcadia Invitational. This takes place in Arcadia, California. It's kind of like the big kickoff to the like national season, Sean. There's a college meet, there's a high school meet. And for Idaho, they went down and performed pretty well. A lot of good competitors. The top performer, though, was Neela Roberts of Skyline. I'm sure you're shocked to hear that, right?
Have we brought her up yet this spring? I kind of feel like we've been, maybe that's our bad. I don't know.
Right.
But no, not surprising at all to bring up Neela Roberts. You know, one of, maybe you'd be hard pressed not to say be one of the best runners in Idaho history at this point.
And I guess I should say it is an invitational. You do have to be invited to that. Not just every Joe Schmo can go compete in this thing. So you have to be invited. Neela Roberts goes down. She's running the 2 mile, the 3,200. She finishes 13th overall, Sean, with a time of 10 minutes, 14.68 seconds. That is good for 13th at the Arcadia Invite. Good for 16th best in the nation so far this year. So Neela Roberts is top 20 in the nation. And oh, by the way, that time would be an Idaho state record. Now, Idaho state records can only be set at the state meet because of, you know, timing and things like that. But just kind of unofficially, that's the fastest 2 mile time by an Idaho girl ever.
Yeah. What just an amazing accomplishment. And I mean, just think of how many girls run the 3,200 in the United States, and to be in that top 20 category is unreal and just an amazing feat for Idaho, right? Especially East Idaho, just to be in that category of national level kind of running.
And if you're going to go to California, you might as well make a trip out of it. Marlo outlined this really well in her article. You can go read it at idahosports.com right at the top of the homepage. But Neela went with her mom, her head coach from cross country, Sean Schmidt, and his wife, and then her best friend from the Skyline cross country team, Sadie Rhodes. And if you're going to go, you have to have a little fun, right? Well, Sadie had never been to Disneyland before. So they decided to go to California Adventures and make a day of it. It was kind of right around her birthday as well. Sadie's birthday. So that was kind of cool that, you know, they were able to bring her along, and even though she wasn't competing, you know, still was able to have fun and be a part of it.
Yeah. And you know, it's hard sometimes because it's very individual, right? And it's hard to get that team aspect. So it's, you know, it's awesome to have teammates and friends be there, so you don't feel so alone, I think, as far as that competing thing, because you've got all these people from all over, and not, you don't have your team cheering you on. So to have those people in the stands for you is such a big thing. And yeah, what a fun experience. Go. And that's what sports do. Sports give you experiences, and that's something they'll remember for the rest of their life. So I'll talk about that when they're our age, Brandon.
Yes, for sure. Hey, one comment here in the chat, Sean, and then we'll get out of here. This is from Garrett Vale. He is an outstanding senior at Minico High School. Hey, Brandon, I know it's not wrestling, but just thought I'd say hi. Hey, Garrett, good to see you. Magic Valley PrepCast will be tomorrow on idahosports.com. Garrett, Sean, just went to the NHCSA Nationals in Virginia Beach, Virginia. He took second in the entire competition at 220 pounds. He got pinned by a guy who's signing with the University of Virginia. So, like, hey, no shame there. And second place in a national competition, pretty awesome. Garrett Bale from Minico.
Yeah, what a great experience. I mean, just, I've never been to Virginia Beach. I would like to go if you need another coach. No, but that's awesome. And thanks for tuning in. But yeah, congratulations. Just Idaho wrestling, I know we're past that, but man, it's you know, there's a bright light here in Idaho for wrestling right now, and it's shining, and the nation's starting to see, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And Minico's close enough to East Idaho that we, you know, once upon a time, Minico was in the same conference as Pocatello and Century, and they're like, that's an easy drive from Pokey to Minico. That's not that bad.
I'd love to be in a conference with them again, but I won't get into that.
Yeah. Oh boy. Anyways, let's get out of here. On that note, hey, thanks for tuning into the East Idaho PrepCast, everybody. Thanks for allowing us to indulge a little bit in some off topic banter at the start of the show. And we'll be back locked in and focused next week for another edition of the East Idaho PrepCast. For Sean Kane, I'm Brandon Bainey. Thanks for tuning in on idahosports.com.